Nintendo released a music app with two features not found on Spotify, one we like and one we don't. Plus, Sony closes two studios just 2 years after purchasing them. Tonight is November 3rd, 2024, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is Edwin Akeriper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans, it's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
You want to know what's hogwash? What is hogwash is changing the clocks. Permanent daylight savings. I am all for sunlight protection, whatever it's called, daytime protection. I don't know. None of this clock changing stuff. We change clocks. And it's now going to be dark at 5 o'clock in the afternoon for the next 4 months until we go back to a regular time. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very dark edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We try to tape the show live each and every Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, over at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I will be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. And I will not be here next week. So when I said almost each and every, I did not mean next week. And I will, the November 10th, we will not have a show. I will be back on November 17th. By then, maybe I'll have played, I think, like, Tetris Forever is out by then. And there's a lot of great stuff coming out that week. And maybe I will get a chance to play it, but I don't know. I'm very much a proponent of daylight savings because I like going outside after work. And I'm not up in the morning. And let me just say this. If the reason we need to have the clocks back is so kids don't have to wait for the school bus in the dark, which I totally did anyway, then maybe we change the time of school instead of changing everybody's clock. How about that? Fifth Dream says, us vampires would like a word. Well, you can have your word. And so far you're winning. So, you know, you've got your way. Dark Tetsuya says, Dragon Quest III HD 2D. Although for Dark Tetsuya, it might have to wait for the next month, funds allowing. I will say this about a game I've been playing. I mentioned this on the Blue Skies, where the skies are blue. I finally, Friday night, got to the point in Metaphor ReFantazio, which I have been enjoying. I haven't been able to play games as much as I wish I could because of just various, because of life, you know. And I'm like 22 hours in, and I finally got to the point in Metaphor ReFantazio of the mandatory stealth section. Mandatory stealth. The one thing I hate most in games is a mandatory stealth section. Now, I am told, thank you very much, 13X Forever, I am told it's not that bad. And it was more puzzle-like, and then they were like, oh, you mean that. Yeah. So there's a section where, in the second big story dungeon, there is a section that essentially has searchlights that move around, and you need to use pillars to not be seen by the searchlight. And apparently it is not as hard as I make it out to be, but then again, I've also never played Ni No Kuni because the demo sucked, and I am a man of conviction. So, and Dark Tetsuya says, that almost ruined Zelda for me. Believe it or not, I haven't really played Wind Waker all that much, because there's mandatory stealth at the beginning of Wind Waker, if you remember. I think I did get past it in Wind Waker eventually, but like I was not happy that like the game opened with a big stealth section. Now, Fifth Dream says, I'm okay with mandatory stealth as long as you can stomp out some bad guys when you mess up and not auto-fail. So, in Metaphor for Fantasia, and I promise I am not trying to spoil anything, the thing that that is driving the searchlights, apparently you can fight, but it is extremely higher than your level. But it is possible to just fight it and be done with it, but it's extremely higher than your level, so you should be like massively overleveled or playing on storyteller difficulty or something like that. But if you can't do that, then you've got to, you know, play the stealth part, and if you fail, you go back to the beginning of the stealth part, stuff like that. So, and the Breakman says, stealth sucks. I want to go in guns blazing. Yes, I would rather just go through with guns blazing. That's why I never really played the Metal Gear Solid games or, I don't know, like Splinter Cell or any of those games where you have to, like, creep around. Like, and it's funny because, like, I love Persona 5, and they're all supposed to be stealthy, but it's stealthy in an action sense where you're just jumping from cover to cover and then you beat the bad guy. You don't actually have to sneak past the bad guy. That's where it gets like that to me. So anyway. That's my time. I was loving Metaphor for Fantasia before then. And then it's like, oh, you're going to do that to me. The Breakman said, I had more fun watching a friend play Metal Gear Solid 2 than I did actually playing. And that is why, everybody, Twitch is popular. Because there are games that I have more fun watching someone else play than actually playing them myself. And I get more out of it watching someone else than I do myself. And it's because it's their skill that's on display and not mine. It's also why I don't stream games on Twitch, because I don't want you seeing my skills or lack thereof. Twitch has a terms of service about offensive content, and my playing is offensive content. So I will say for those who celebrate, Halloween was this week. I want to actually share what we did for Halloween, because it is gaming related for some of you. And we only had 14 kids come by our house, which is less than last year, which we were kind of surprised about. But we did learn last year, and I know some people are probably going to cringe, but the kids in my area actually do love the fruit snacks, because we had like fruit snacks and chocolate, and they were all so excited for the fruit snacks and not so much for the chocolate. So we did fruit snacks, but we didn't want to just have something that was ingest in something that you ingest. So we did the fruit snacks, but we also got, and I didn't realize they made these, Pokemon cards. And there was we bought a pack of 35 of these little trick or trade Pokemon cards, because a lot of the kids in our neighborhood play Pokemon, it essentially, there were three cards in it, and we dropped them in everybody's bag, and that's also how we know we only had 14 kids. So I did take one, so now we have around 20 for next year, so we're just going to keep them for next year. But I kept myself some cards. Fifth Dream says they'll be worth $800 or $800,000 in a few years. No, probably not. I don't know. I opened mine already, and I got an Umbreon, and they actually even do have kind of like a pumpkin Pikachu on them. A Mimikyu, and I got a Pumpkaboo. And I don't actually play Pokemon, so these are the only Pokemon cards I own. And so I'm ready to wreck. I'm ready to wreck everybody. Actually, I lied. I do have the Detective Pikachu cards that you got in the movie theater. I did actually keep these. So I have those as well. Fifth Dream says, how did I not know about these? They're all my favorites. Apparently, my wife just saw them like in the Halloween aisle at the grocery store. And it's like it comes in this pack. And there's like 35 of these, and basically you just drop them in, and I think they've got different things in there. So like I just got lucky with that pull, I guess. But Mike Dev says these cards are pretty much fodder from other sets. They just have the Pikachu jack-o'-lantern thing. They've been doing them for years now. And SJ Renamant does say that insanely rare E3 starter pack that is worth a bunch. Oh, you mean this one that actually isn't opened? The demo game for two players which is apparently worth like $1,000. And I have, every time I post about this on social media, it's like, I will send you $3 plus postage if you send that E3 pack to me. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works. So that's why I still have it, because everybody just wants to scam me and send me like Tree Fitty for when like eBay says it's like worth $1,000. And yes, it is, by the way, it is, I've talked about it on the show before, but if you're new, let's switch camera here. If you're new, like this was the pack that was given to us, I want to say at E3 98 or E3 97. It was one of the two, or E3 98 or E3 99, one of the two. And this was before Pokemon came out in the US. This was the, you know, they were giving it to basically retailers and press to say, this is going to be the next big thing. And I laughed. I was like, it's not. Thankfully, I wasn't actually a pundit at that time. That was before my punditry career. So that didn't come back to bite me. But apparently this, especially still unopened like this is worth like a grand. You can find people on YouTube that did like buy these for a grand and then open them. And I am not that YouTuber. You can go to somebody else's YouTube and see what cards are in there. So that's the Pokemon cards that's worth quite a lot. Everything else is worth like 5 cents, if that. Breakman says he has an investment deal for me. Well, you know what? We're going to move on because I don't want to hear the investment deal. And no, I'm not going to slide into your DMs. So let's talk about Nintendo a little bit. Now, this week, another surprise announcement from Nintendo. Basically, all of Nintendo's R&D concepts that they've been working on for the past couple years are finally being shown the light of day. They've probably been working on these for a while in secret. And we had the Nintendo alarm clock a couple weeks ago, which has already been hacked to run Doom. So, you know, if you're wondering if you could run Doom on it, you can. And now they've brought out a new app for your phone. So this is something for your phone. This is not something for your Nintendo Switch. But now they have an app on your phone so you don't need Spotify anymore. The Verge reports that while we all wait for the reveal of Nintendo's next console, you're not going to get it anytime soon, the company has once again announced something very different. This time, it's a mobile app called Nintendo Music, which lets users listen to classic gaming tunes from Nintendo games spanning the last few decades, including Splatoon, Animal Crossing, and The Legend of Zelda. It's only available to Switch Online subscribers, and it's launching on both iOS and Android. The app features curated playlists, themes around games, moments, moods, or characters, though you can also build your own. It also supports streaming as well as downloading tracks for offline listening. Curiously, it includes a spoiler feature that lets you filter out tracks that somehow might spoil a game you haven't played or finished yet. And this is my favorite feature of this app, and this is something that Spotify doesn't do. If you just want some Hyrule white noise or some Mario Kart, come on. The app lets you loop songs or extend select tracks to 15, 30, or 60 minutes of uninterrupted listening. So essentially, the tracks that are supposed to loop, they actually have it in four different versions of it. They have the version that is just like the 3-minute one you would find on a CD. They have a 15-minute version, a 30-minute version, and a 60-minute version. So if you're wondering why they did this instead of going on to Spotify, that's one reason. That is the consumer-focused reason for this. The real reason they decided to not go the Spotify route like other video game companies do is because Spotify pays a pittance. And this is only available if you have a Nintendo Switch Online account. So you are paying Nintendo directly. So they get more money from you using their app than they would if they just put them on Spotify and waited for the royalty payments to not come in. S. Jernerman says, I think the app is solid, but it's still in its infancy along with this catalog. Yes, it's very bare bones, and they're going to add more things over time, which basically why they would do that is so you can keep paying for that Nintendo Switch Online subscription, even if you're not playing online games on your Nintendo Switch. Mike Def says, not to mention that Sony owns Spotify. I don't think that actually has much to do with it. I think it's the royalty payment. I think it's more they just want your money. and they're not going to get that much money from Spotify. So, but they are adding more as things go on. They already have the Mii all the Wii tracks, like the Mii Shop thing, the Mii Plaza. So they got the memes in, but they've got some more that they've got to get in to it. Now, the thing that I don't like about it is probably another reason why they're not on Spotify, because there's now an issue of who gets the royalty payments. Now, what you'll find when you log into the Nintendo Music app is that you won't know who wrote it. Game Developer reports that yesterday, Nintendo dropped a fun new way to celebrate the many wonderful soundtracks that have accompanied its game for years. It debuted Nintendo Music, an app dedicated to soundtracks from its storied history. It's available only to Nintendo Switch Online members, making it another unique driver of Nintendo's entry into subscription services. There's one catch. The app does not credit any composers. If you log into the app and pick a song, the track information button just has the name, the game it appears in, and a Nintendo copyright notice. Developers and game music professionals spotted the omission shortly after the app rolled out on October 30th. Assistant audio director Nabil Mehari was one of many to draw attention to the uncredited artists, which include veteran composers Koji Kondo and Ryo Nagamaseto. Mehari wrote, quote, "Once again, Nintendo is trying to maintain the illusion that everything they release is created by a monolith, and it's disappointing," unnote. Unquote. The list of unnamed composers included runs pretty long. Yuka Tsujiyoko, that's what it is, isn't credited for her work on the Fire Emblem series. Kenji Yamamoto is not listed as the music meister behind Metroid Prime. Want to know who composed KK Slider's Slick Tunes? Kazumi Tataka and his collaborators are unfortunately absent. In July, Game Developer learned Nintendo's crediting policies were leaving third-party translators out of credits, denying them a much-needed boost on their resumes. Elsewhere, it's starting to become strangely reluctant to share what game studios are working on its in-development projects. So, ZenMonkey11 asks, can they sue? And also, pay your composers, Nintendo. And so, I am going to give context as to why this is happening and why Nintendo is doing this. And it's not because they don't pay the composers, because in Nintendo's mind, they already paid them. They have been paid. So this is more of a cultural thing. I'm not saying it's right. I feel that the composers should be credited. This is more of a cultural thing of how Japanese companies work. And there was a great thread on X, which, yes, I do call it X. I understand there are people that still want to call it Twitter, but Twitter died a while ago. Twitter doesn't exist anymore. So there was a thread on X from a man by the name of Kaihatsu, and they explained it this way, and I'm going to read their long thread here. Regarding the lack of composer credits in the app, as someone who's a full-time employee of a Japanese company, I may be able to shed some light on this. Though I work as a designer, I imagine it's the same in other creative roles. Not being credited is the norm here. When you join a company, it's implicitly understood you will not receive credit outside of a credit screen. Japanese companies care a lot about craftsmanship and see themselves in a black box Willy Wonka's chocolate factory way where you don't get to see who's behind what. With these composers, it's a bit different because they've been credited in games before, but generally you can't tell people what you've worked on. That's confidential info. I can't tell people what fonts I've worked on as I don't get any credits. Nobody does. Only the company. It's why Japanese creatives who work for companies like Nintendo don't have an online presence. It's basically forbidden. I've been pulled up for having my private Instagram appear when you Google my name. The views are my own shtick people use in the West does very little in Japan. Even telling people where you work can be a risk. Anything that connects a named person to a company. Reputation is a big thing, but trying to make a name for yourself outside of work, even in a different field, can cause problems. Employees will be online, but under pseudonyms. These composers will be full-time employees like me, so I don't think they'll be getting any royalties or residuals for their work here. Companies here tightly control their IP, so all of their work will be company property. They will have limited or no rights over it. Attitudes here differ, too. There are a lot of people that don't see themselves as special and wish to remain private. I know lots of brilliant designers that, by all accounts, should be famous for their impact on Japanese visual culture, but they don't want to be in the spotlight. Things are changing, though, as companies realize the benefit of having named creatives that can contribute to your brand image, but don't expect a big shift in attitudes to happen anytime soon. You might as well wait for pebbles to grow into boulders lush with moss. One last thing. This is basically what I was told when I started working here. When you become a shakaijin, a working adult, you're not at university anymore where you can speak your mind. You've become part of a greater whole. In everything you do, you must think of the company first. Orange Wright says, a lot of Japanese game soundtracks on Spotify merely credit the company sound team, so it's not surprising Nintendo follows suit. Yes, you can find those. There are several, many soundtracks on Spotify that credit, like, the Capcom sound team. Or the Konami Kuheha Club, I think is how you... I don't have it in front of me, which is why I pronounced it wrong. But it's only kind of more recently that they have started listing the composers in the game soundtracks on Spotify. And when they do credit them in the game, it's just, these are the composers. They don't tell you who composed what. And this also extends out to, you know, even if it's a Western company, because we brought up when the Super Mario Brothers movie came out, the animated one, right? There was a scene that had the DK rap in it. And in the credits of the movie, it was credited to the DK sound team. It was not credited to Grant Kirkhope, who wrote the DK rap. He got no credit and no royalties because he actually doesn't have the rights to the DK rap. Nintendo does, and if Nintendo wants to say that the quote-unquote DK sound team wrote it, then that's where it came from. As Sharon Matt says, I will also echo what this person is saying. Having worked in a creative role, I never get credited for some of the work I've done. Even though some things I have made, worked on, have been viewed by millions of people, I won't get credit. You can't claim ownership of it because it's part of the company and the product. And this does happen in the West, but it's for less creative things. I have never been credited for any piece of software that I've written for my day job, any of my day jobs. In the past, you know, 24 years of working in the software industry, I don't get credits for that. My company that I worked for got credit for it. So even when you join a company, and this has been changing a little bit, but if you join a company, they can say anything you do that is anyway related to your job. So if you're a software developer, anything you code in your free time can also be company property. When I actually get a new job, and I did this recently, I got a new job this year, my job actually explicitly lists this network, the Voice of Geeks network, as something that is separate that they cannot claim because I do work in software, and Voice of Geeks network has a website. And, you know, yes, I know the website's old and it needs to be updated, but my company cannot claim that the updated website is their IP because I specifically had to have them agree that it was not part of what they were hiring me for. And it's actually in my employment contract. I actually list the Voice of Geeks network in my employment contract that they can't touch anything that I do with it. So that is how they get control of things. And they get the IP. Now, ZenMike11 says, but question, shouldn't they still get paid, though? I think they should get paid when their music is used in other Nintendo products. No. When you are a full-time employee and they pay you a salary, and part of that salaried position is to write the song, no, you are not necessarily entitled to royalties because you wrote it for the company. The company gets royalties if something else uses their music, but you don't get it yourself because you were paid a salary. So you got paid. You got paid hopefully a good salary to write that, But that means that you don't get any rights to anything else because you wrote it while you were full-time. A lot of music composers are not full-time employees. Some are, but a lot aren't. And they, if they do it freelance or through their studio, then they can negotiate a portion of the rights. But if the company is basically contracting them out to write it, then the company does get a lot of the rights of the music, and a lot of that falls to them. It's all contract law if you go through that way. So like a, I know it's a persona non grata, but let's say Tommy Tallarico Studios. I know, don't jump down my throat for saying that name. But Tommy Tallarico Studios is a third-party company. They worked on stuff on you know, a lot of games, and they do have the rights to some of it, but they still worked on it as a contract to the game company, and the game company ultimately owns the piece for a lot of the things that they have done. Other times, if a you know, composer is well known enough, they can negotiate that they still have the rights to the songs. They're writing the songs, licensing it for the game to use, but then they own all the rights to the songs. I believe like Lena Raine with Celeste. I believe that's how it worked there. Undertale, well, Toby Fox wrote the music, so he's just paying rights to himself. But there are ways you can negotiate the contract. But if you're a full-time employee and they say write a song and it's for the company, it's their song. You're writing it for them. You're not writing it on your own time. Now, the Breakman says, if you signed off your work to them, I understand that, but I don't like leaving people's names off their work. They created it. They should at least get to say they made it for crap's sake. And that is something that is changing. Like, it is going to that point now. But remember, even Atari did this back in the 80s. That's why Activision was created. Atari didn't want you to know that Howard Scott Warshaw wrote Yar's Revenge. Atari didn't want you to know that Warren Robinette wrote Adventure. That's why Activision came about and said, oh, this is a game by David Crane. It's because if you wrote it, it was an Atari game. It wasn't a Howard Scott Warshaw game. It was an Atari game. And the Breakman says, I'm not talking about claiming ownership, but I think it's messed up that you can't even say you worked on something. And yeah, I mean, that being said, I've worked on things I can't talk about. And I don't work in the game industry, but I've worked on things I can't talk about. And in my sense, it makes more sense because it's like actual, like, substantive stuff. But I think what they're probably worried about is, once again, it's that optics. It's that image, right? They don't want you saying something that then comes back to Nintendo. And, oh, I'm now going to boycott this game because this person claimed they worked on it and said something I disagree with. Now, the Breakman says it's screwed up that they don't have their names in the credits, and that is wrong. So I do want to point out that they actually do, in the video games, have names in the credits for the most part. There are times, and we've talked about it, where, like, they take some of the localizers out of the credits for whatever reason. And I don't remember exactly why that happened. I just know it does happen. But like Nintendo will have like the music team in the credits of the game when you get to the credits screen. But it's in this Nintendo Music app. They are not individually crediting each song. And it might be some of the... in like the 80s and stuff, you may not know who wrote what song anymore for a lot of the 80s stuff. Because if there's a team of like 10 people that are writing music, yeah, you had your music supervisor. Koji Kondo would have been the music supervisor, but somebody else might have written some of the stuff in the later games. I'm pretty sure he wrote everything in Super Mario Brothers, but you know what I mean. When you start getting like three or four people on writing the music and working on the tracks in the game, they may not even remember who wrote what. Now, Johnny Fatsacks in chat says, it sucks, but you know what you're getting into when you sign a contract. So I will say, if you go into Super Smash Brothers, or you go into Smash Brothers Ultimate, right? They got the music player. They actually list, for the most part, they list who supervised that arrangement. They do credit there, which is why it's kind of surprising it's not in the Nintendo Music app. But they do actually put in the Smash Brothers stuff, like, this is who arranged it, and if sometimes they'll even have, like, the original composer. Now, you will find that some games, they just have, oh, like, Capcom Sound Team, Arrangement Supervisor, Yoko Shimomura, or whoever did the arrangement supervising for the Smash Brothers version. So they do in some places, they're just not here. And Mike Def says it's because Sakurai gives a damn. S. Jordan Matt says, I've been on interviews where they ask to see things I worked on at the company or product I worked on. I tell them I can't show specifics because it's not mine, it's the company. Usually places in the creative space sphere get it. That also happens in technical stuff. I have had people want to see code that I worked on at my last company, and I'm like, no, I can't show you that. That's not mine to show. You'd have to ask them. And that's why, at least in software development, it's gotten a lot more prevalent to have you do a coding test. Or what they'll do, and I'm sure this probably happens. I know this happens in the gaming industry, too, because I've actually interviewed gaming companies and they've done this and I failed them, which is why I don't work in the gaming industry. But they want you to whiteboard solutions. They'll tell you, hey, you've got this. Now, you know, tell me how you'd code this. And you have like 15 minutes to do it on a whiteboard. But I've seen where companies will now say, okay, well, now what we're going to do is we're going to have you come in for a couple hours and we're going to give you a problem and we want to see how you solve it. And the insidious part is that's an actual problem they are having and they want to see, especially if you have experience doing that before, they want to see how you'd solve it so they can actually do it without actually paying you. Now, sometimes they will actually say, no, we will pay you an hourly fee to come in and work on this and that's our evaluation. But I've also seen, you know, coding tests where they're like, okay, so we need you to traverse a doubly linked list with 10,000 nodes, and we need you to sort it using a sorting algorithm, and it needs to happen in less than 10, in like the actual computation needs to take less than 10 seconds, and you have, you have 20 minutes, do it. And it's called leet code, and apparently the top five tech companies, they used to be called Fang, and then Facebook changed their name and Google changed their name, but used to be that they apparently use this all the time, and that's why I'd never work for any of those companies. But it's because they know they can't see your previous work unless it's open source. I actually got a job with the Voice of Geeks Network website. That's the website I could show them, and they were like, "So where are your comments in your code?" And I'm like, I don't need them. Well, what if you get hit by a bus? I'm like, then the site goes down and it gets transferred. This was before we really were a big thing. So it's like, then Rob gets a new site and, you know, goes somewhere else. You know, that was kind of the answer. And so I didn't get hired for it. But I'm like, all my actual code of my day job is commented, but I just can't show it to you. As Jaron and Matt says, stay away from buses. No, you don't. Okay, so, and this is the last thing I'll say about this before going to about tech industry. The bus metaphor is one that I've known for a long time. And it's a cautionary tale about you know, why you should have redundancies in your company. And this is on the management and this is on the leadership and this is on the company culture. Where and essentially what it was is if one of your coworkers gets hit by a bus, you want the company to still be able to go in terms of its production. Like, yes, like take the time off to, you know, visit the hospital or whatever. But you didn't want one person knowing all of the information. And if that person was taken out of the equation, your company couldn't function. And it was always said if they get hit by a bus, which is dark and tragic and, you know, it's dark humor. And it's what we had for a long time. So I was at a meetup of software developers in my field working on the same platform that I work on. And somebody had asked, does anybody here know what the bus problem is? And I raised my hand. He's like, yeah, what is it? And I said that. And everybody in the room gasped and looked at me like I had three heads. Apparently, sometime in the last 10 years, the verbiage got changed to, what if they win the lottery and get on a bus and leave? That's how it changed. It originally was, what if they get hit by a bus? Now it's, what if they got on a bus and left and never came back? Johnny Fat Sack says, no, change it back. Oh, I changed it back. Trust me. Yeah, I didn't realize they had changed it. Anyway, we do have one other story I want to talk about real quick. And this is about, we talked about Concord a while ago. We went off to Dragon Con. And so, like, it came out. We all here at Vogue went to Dragon Con. By the time we came back, the game had launched and been shut down. Kotaku reports that Firewalk Studios is shutting down. PlayStation co-CEO Herman Holst announced in a press release on Tuesday. The team responsible for Concord, the company's sci-fi hero shooter that bombed so badly it was taken offline just weeks after its launch earlier this year. The news comes less than 2 years after the PlayStation 5 maker first acquired Firewalk Studios as part of its ambitious plans for live service gaming. Hull said in the press release, quote, certain aspects of Concord were exceptional, but others did not land with enough players, and as a result, we took the game offline. We have spent considerable time these past few months exploring all of our options. After much thought, we have determined the best path forward is to permanently sunset the game and close the studio. I want to thank all of Firewalk's for their craftsmanship, creative spirit, and dedication, unquote. So Firewalk was formed in 2018 with a few ex-Bungie developers working on a new multiplayer shooter under the umbrella of the gaming studio startup Probably Monsters, formed by ex-Bungie CEO Harold Ryan. Concord was in development for years and picked up by Sony early as a promising prospect for its portfolio of planned live service games. The initial development deal for the game was just over $200 million, according to two sources familiar with the agreement, but who were not authorized to speak publicly about it. But Kotaku understands that amount was not enough to cover the game's entire development and did not include the purchase of Concord IP rights or Firewalk Studios itself, which Sony acquired only last year. Concord, a mix of Destiny 2-style PvP shooting and Overwatch 2's hero roster, struggled out of the gate following its full reveal at the PlayStation Showcase this past May. Initial trailers received overwhelmingly negative reaction from prospective players, and open betas over the summer didn't do much to change those perceptions. The final game reviewed okay, but critics by and large felt there was not enough to help Concord stand out in an already crowded field of other established multiplayer shooters that were mostly free to play. I will say, I was intrigued by the trailer because it was the cinematic trailer. And then when they're like, oh, it's a hero shooter, that's when I checked out. Because it looked like it might have had the same narrative punch that the Guardians of the Galaxy game had, which shocked everybody when it started winning all these best narrative awards at, like, the Game Awards. And then when you play it, you're like, that's why. It was fantastic. And I thought Concord was going to be the same, and it wasn't. The Regman says, they say guns, Bobby takes a nap. No, I don't take a nap for that. It's stealth that I take a nap. With some analysts expecting the game, estimating that the game only sold 25,000 copies in the first week, Concord was later taken offline less than a month after it launched. Kotaku previously reported that the game director Ryan Ellis had internally stepped down from his management role in the game while its future was assessed by Sony leadership. The rest of the team, meanwhile, was left in limbo to wonder if Firewalk might be put to work on other Sony projects or shut down entirely. Holst also announced that Neon Koi, which was also acquired by Sony in the last few years, would be closing as well, and the multiplayer mobile shooter it was working on would be canceled. So these are two companies Sony acquired 2 years ago, both working on live service games that have now been shut down. So I believe the live service game bubble has burst now, even though Concord really wasn't a live service game because you had to pay, what, $40 for it? I think maybe Sony learned its lesson. Neon Koi, I looked it up a little bit. It was formed in 2020, so it was formed in late 2020, and they were going to make a PV, like it was a mobile live service game. They were working on it. It never got announced. I don't think it's kind of like Netflix last week closed down their AAA studio without ever announcing what they were working on for years. Neon Koi is the same kind of thing. So maybe they're learning that the live service game market isn't where it's at. They just don't have anything else they can pivot these studios for. So I do hope that everybody there lands on their feet. If you are one of the people on social media that was like, no, nobody there should ever work on the industry again, you're a terrible person. I hope I can still say that on Twitch. So just because somebody works somewhere and works on something doesn't mean they get to make any of the decisions. And you can sit there and say, no, I don't care if they were just following orders. They should never work again. No, that's the wrong attitude to have. Yes, there are certain people that probably shouldn't be in management or director roles again, but not everybody that works there has a say. We're going to take a quick music break. And then we will talk to Rob and talk about some other things. So we will be right back. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here in the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
Hey, this is SSJ 100 Matt. And when I'm not watching or playing hockey, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Wait, what do you mean he doesn't know what hockey is? Forget this.
Yeah, I don't. What is that? I don't get it. Yeah. So that whatever he's talking about apparently just started up again. I don't know. So if you want to leave a bumper and make fun of me for not knowing something that you like a whole lot, all you got to do is contact me and send me an MP3 of just your voice or a video of just your voice of just you speaking. I will choose what DMCA violation I want to put behind it, and I don't know who wrote that song. I don't know. I think that's from Ice Hockey on the NES. I think that's where I got that song. I don't know who wrote it. I don't know who wrote that track. So am I any better than Nintendo? Probably not. Blades of Steel is what it's from. That's right. I got it from Blades of Steel, which was a great game, I'm sure. But I don't know who wrote the music to it. I'm going to check over in the green room, just see if anybody's in there. Nobody's usually in there. It's the Breakman says been forever since I've been to a hockey game. It's been forever since I've been too. We used to have a team here, and now I'm thinking really bad thoughts about the city of Winnipeg for whatever reason. But anyway, there's a team coming out soon. And this is kind of funny for anybody who's like a music nerd. We're getting like a minor league team in my old college town, which is Athens, Georgia, which, it's been a great weekend to be a Gator hater, by the way. And we're getting a minor league hockey team in Athens, Georgia, which is also known not just for beating Gators, but also known for music and a lot of like influential, like alternative bands of the 90s and stuff in the 80s, stuff like the REM and the B-52s. And so they're actually getting a minor league hockey team in Athens, literally called the Athens Rock Lobsters. And yes, they are going to play that song a lot. And I cannot wait to go and experience it. Dark Tetsuya says Kazuki Muroka and Hidehiro Funauchi composed Blades of Steel. So thank you very much to the both of you for providing that 10-second bumper. Unfortunately, your royalty check is not in the mail because I'm a terrible person. Speaking of people who are not terrible people, coming up next here on the Voice of Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California, that they talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what they're going to be talking about. Sacramento, are you there?
I am here, Bobby, and I don't know. I can be pretty terrible sometimes.
Yes, but you at least credit the artists, I guess.
I definitely try to wherever. I actually know who it is.
Yes.
from being mentioned in the game, yes.
Yes. So have you tried out that Nintendo Music app? Have you played around with it?
I have. I fooled around with it. I don't know if you know this, Bobby. I made a silly little TikTok referencing mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
And that is my first thing to truly go viral on TikTok.
Oh, good. Because I saw you posted it. I actually logged. I don't actually scroll through TikTok all that often, but I logged in, went there, mm-hmm. hearted it. So I helped.
Oh, good.
I helped.
You definitely helped.
And then I closed the app because I'm like, I don't need to be scrolling right now.
You know? Not to be that guy, but I just logged in to see how it's doing. And I just, between this morning and now, 341 more new likes. And
good job.
What's the total view count? 80,000 views.
Nice.
And all it is me sitting there saying, now that the Nintendo Music app is out, I have music to disassociate to. I posted it in our Discord server if you want to get the link. But it's one of those things where it's like sometimes you just have the right formula and it takes off. And the comments have turned into a commentary on the Nintendo Music app because a lot of people are very bitter that you have to have the Nintendo online subscription to have it. But it is what it is. I'd hope that they get more 8-bit releases and old school NES stuff. You know, I love me some retro stuff. I also love that one of the early releases on there is the Metroid Famicom Disk System version. Very unique, you know, difference because the disk system had that extra sound chip. So some older games sound very different. Metroid, you know, the background music isn't hugely different. I think you can kind of hear it in one or two tracks, but depending on what else they release, you'll probably be able to hear that, which I think is really cool.
I think they started with a lot of the ones that they had released CDs for at some point in Japan, because some people were even pointing out, because I was talking about like not crediting the artist, that if you got the CD version and you open up the liner notes, the artists are in there.
Yeah.
So in these cases, like, Nintendo knows who they are. They just don't have them in the app, which is the other big complaint. People don't like the fact that they have to pay for access to the app. But the other complaint is they're not crediting all the artists like they have in Smash Brothers.
And you're right that it's probably because of the royalties and the fact that Nintendo does not want to wade into this. Oh, now they've got to give royalties to their artists, like Spotify gives royalties to their artists. Nintendo is going to stick by the nope, you made that as an employee of us on our dime. You know, the whole thing you already kind of talked about. But Nintendo probably does not want to get in a situation where maybe the employees try to demand royalties, but I don't. Sadly, for those employees, I think it would be a pretty quickly losing proposition.
Also, I don't think in like especially for like older stuff, because there would be older Japanese people. They probably aren't. That's not top of their mind as it would be more here in the West. But things like Donkey Kong 64, that music was composed in England, and so you know that I don't know because I know they have in like Smash Brothers, they credit the music artist, but I wonder, I think that's because they have to in some cases because of the video game, but in this app, they don't have to.
Yeah. So, but you know, as far as like having the music itself, it's great that Nintendo finally has that out there, you know, outside of Smash Brothers. So, and it's, you know, even if it's frustrating to see it tied to Nintendo Switch Online and the online plan, it's nice to see added value for the online plan. And I think, you know, especially I know on OLR, we've talked about, it's a little weird that Sony doesn't lean in more often to sweetening the pot of PlayStation with some of their other multimedia, you know, holdings that they have, especially, you know, considering they also leverage a movie studio. And I realize those are different parts of the organization, but boy, it would really sweeten the pot to have something like PlayStation Plus if you had access to, you know, some of the other things like, you know, isn't Crunchyroll a Sony thing?
Crunchyroll access, and
even if on a limited basis, access to a lot of that, you know. And I think they give away like a free month here or there. I'm sure somebody will pipe in chat, you know. They do try to connect with deals, but imagine if it really was like an entertainment pass. I think a lot of consumers would be very happy about that, but consumers are paying for what's available now, so why add value?
And Dark Disease says at least it wasn't locked behind the Plus version, and that I appreciate because I do not have the expansion pass.
That's a very good
point.
It
has not yet given me a reason to get the expansion pass. Nintendo still has time. I'm not going to say I never will, but I don't have it yet, and this wouldn't have moved the needle. But I mean, I played around with it a little bit, and I liked the way it did certain things. Other, you know, taking away the, you know, not crediting, the killer feature of it that I believed is why they weren't on Spotify is the able to extend things for 60 minutes. And that's not something you can do on Spotify.
I will say this too, for an area of Nintendo that doesn't often get enough credit. I don't know if you saw the actual kind of commercial, the short commercial, 30-second blip they put together for it. It's very creative and well done, with people kind of humming the Wii or the Nintendo. It starts with the Wii Shop theme, ironically, because that made me laugh because I'm like, oh, that's the same song that, you know, I got the banger TikTok to. But it starts with that and people are like humming the different Nintendo songs while they're doing their daily deeds. And I just thought it was really cleverly well done. My only other complaint about this app is that it's about 5 years too late. This is something they really should have done about 5 years ago, but you know, as was once said on the Golden Girls, better late than pregnant.
So what do we think the next R&D thing that Nintendo has come out or has been working on that they're going to surprise launch on us instead of talking about another console?
Oh, like, the, you know, since it's been like Alarmo and the yeah. music thing. Well, I think we already know it's the MMO, the secret, yeah. okay. little secret, the secret project we're not supposed to know about.
And that's going to be in the expansion pass. Answer. That'll be in the expansion pass.
Probably. You're probably right. Otherwise, I really do think it'll be Switch 2 now. I think we've gotten our holiday announcements out of the way. We're into November at this point. I really think it's Switch 2 from here on out, which is good because now we can hear about the games that the R&D yeah. areas are working on, which hopefully involves a sequel to Mario Odyssey. That's my big hope there.
But hey, we're going to have the Xenoblade Chronicles is finally released, finally free of its Wii U captivity.
Yeah, now it's not just Charlie that gets to be XCX. Yeah. Nintendo Switch gets it too, and I'm really excited to. I really enjoyed. I don't super get into the Xenoblade games, but mm-hmm. XCX I liked probably more than any of the others for whatever reason. So I'll probably pick this up on Switch. Yeah, except you know my ever growing game backlog while I'm trying to take care of retro games and all that other stuff. So never enough time of the day.
No, there's not. I don't have that much time to play games. And we were like, so what TV are you watching? I'm like, what time for TV?
Exactly, you know? Exactly that. I tell people that all the time. Video games are my entertainment. Yeah. And if not that, like Twitch or podcasts or something. Yep. I don't really watch TV or movies.
Yeah. I let my wife do that. She watches all the TV and tells me what it's like so I can, you know, contribute when people talk to me about it. I did watch because we have Amazon Prime. But it's the only service we have it for the delivery, and then we get the ad-filled version of things. I did finally watch the first episode of Like a Dragon Yakuza.
Oh.
And I'm sure it's great for people that love the melodrama of the grittiness of the story, and I'm sure it's great for that. It's just that's not why I like the franchise. I like the moments of levity. And essentially, the TV series really does lean in on the melodrama. And it's like, we're just going to have the melodramatic parts, which are a huge part of the Yakuza series. And we're going to strip out all the levity. We're going to strip out all the fun, which is basically, they've gotten, especially more recently, that team has done a really good job of, like, here's hard-hitting, emotional, you know, rip your heart out, you know, gore, all that stuff. And then, like, kind of easing you back into, you're playing a video game, and it's supposed to be fun. And then it goes back into, the, you know, so it's got a really good cycle and a loop on it, which is why I've really gravitated toward the series in the past couple of years. And the TV show's like, yeah, screw that. We're not going to do any of that.
So, as Dark Tetsuya asks in chat, so no rugby, baby?
No.
That's a bummer. No.
Even if it was the levity, that would not be for a couple seasons because they're literally just going through basically the first game it's supposed to be. But they've also, from people who are very much into the Yakuza lore, they've changed a lot of the lore as well. So
interesting.
Yep. So that's my one episode. I've only seen one of the six episodes because then it was like, okay, here's 3 minutes of ads. And I'm like, crap, I forgot. We don't pay the extra $3 a month to not get ads on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, neither do I. And I couldn't tell you the last thing I watched on Amazon Prime, to be honest.
The last thing I watched before then was Fallout, which I didn't get through. I didn't make it all the way through, but I liked Fallout.
The thing. Yeah.
And then before then was we watched the first season of Good Omens, because who doesn't love watching David Tennant be a devil? I mean, seriously. Anyway, video games. Orange Lounge Radio, what are you going to be talking about tonight?
Well, we'll talk a little bit about some of these similar topics, but also some big news from this week is that Monster Hunter Wilds got a beta that is now available on PlayStation 5. I actually played a little bit of it, which I don't usually get into Monster Hunter games. So I'll talk about my impressions early on, because obviously it's a beta. But we'll talk about some of the pretty robust accessibility features as well. Also, Call of Duty Black Ops. I know this isn't a series you really follow, Bobby, but Loki has a little bit more of an eye on it. And we'll talk a little bit about the reception of that game and what it's doing for Xbox. And then one more thing we'll talk a little bit about. Yes, they've installed Doom on that too.
Yep. It's all there.
They got Doom on it. We'll talk about it coming up next.
All right. Yep. OLR is coming up next. I will not be here next Sunday. So you all have fun
Enjoy your week off, and yes. We will see you in 2 weeks.
Yep. And Orange Lounge Radio is up next tonight. Thanks so much, Rob.
Thanks as always, Bobby.
So, like I said, that is it for me. I will be back in 2 weeks November 17th? I will be back on November 17th, right here at the Voice Geeks Network Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Come join us and interact with the show directly. Orange Lounge Radio will still be on next Sunday. They'll actually get to start on time. I will not be delaying them like I'm delaying right now because it is already 9:02 on the East Coast. So, but they will be here. I will be here in 2 weeks. Thank you so much. You can find me on social media. I am at BobbyBlackWolf.com on Blue Sky or at Bobby Blackwolf other places. But really, Blue Sky is the place I kind of post the most right now. So if you should probably join Blue Sky. It's a nice little place right now. And you can also find me on our Discord server. VogNetwork.com/Discord gets you the free invite into our server. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. And we would like to, but we would not be able to make this all work without people who do go above and beyond. You being here is really all that we ask for, and that is amazing. If you are here even for the whole show or for just 5 minutes, it's amazing. But thank you so much, Fifth Dream, for resubscribing, and SSJ100Matt for resubscribing here on Twitch, which means they get access to the VODs. They don't get to see the ads that get shown. And just for being here. Thank you so much for that. I'm going to hit the button. And I'll see you in 2 weeks. And hopefully I don't get surprised with any more mandated stealth section in any of the games that I play, because that would really suck. Anyway, take care of yourself. See you in a couple weeks. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.